It's time for John Paul, the Car Doctor, on North Shore 104.9. Call today with your car questions, comments, or concerns. 1-800-370-1049. That's 1-800-370-1049. John Paul, the Car Doctor.
Good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on North Shore 104.9, where North Peabody, North Beverly is, well, everything's snowing, I guess. There's a little bit of snow everywhere up on the North Shore. Is that true, Biff?
That is accurate. We're having a little bit of snow, but it looks like it's starting to gradually change to rain.
So if you play it out just correctly, by the time you leave the station, you'll not have to clean off your car? Is that the plan?
I think based on what I'm seeing now, yeah, that the Mother Nature will probably take care of that for me, and I won't have to do that. So that's nice.
Well, that's, you know, we're you know, and I've said this before, February is always the snowiest month, and since we're right at the end of it now, one more day, and hopefully weather will be changed by then, and people start to think more towards spring and less about snow shovels and snow brushes.
I'm with you there, John, 100%. I'm with you. I mean, March is always tough to get through, but, you know, we're at a point now where you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, a couple of big med benchmarks. The sun is setting after 5:30. That's big.
Right.
The sun gets up earlier. So as the days get longer, it's tough for Mother Nature to hurt us with snow because there's just too much sun. The sun's too high in the sky.
And St. Patrick's Day is coming up.
And there you go. There you go.
Exactly. Hey, you may have seen it somewhere, and you may have read about it, or maybe you're even old enough to remember it, but GM had something called the Future Liner. And the Future Liner was, you know, think how people got information before the Internet. In a lot of cases, the information was brought to them. For people who are old enough to remember, their town may have posted newspaper headlines in the window of the local newspaper that was going to be in print the next day or next morning or next evening. So people sometimes would actually walk by the office of the newspaper, drive by the newspaper to read the headlines for the next day. That's sort of what people did before there was the Internet and learned about a lot of things. And GM had something called the Future Liner. In fact, they had quite a few Future Liners. And with us on the phone is Natalie Harrington. Natalie Harrington, a member of the New England Motor Press Association, works with the Museum of Transportation Brookline, and now is a auto writer for GMTrucks.com, the Merver Brothers publication, and which just recently had their 20th anniversary, which is pretty amazing for a guy who also had his 40th birthday this week. So good for Zane Merver as well. Natalie, good morning, and welcome to the Car Doctor program.
Good morning, John. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about you before we start to talk about the Future Liner. How did you get involved in the kind of automotive trade and writing about cars and loving everything with wheels on it?
Sure. So my dad was always a big car guy, and I think that's really where I credit this interest the most. He always loved hot rods and classic American cars, but I always found that I enjoyed cars more and liked them more when I knew a little bit about them. Anytime that I had a little bit more context, I just really got so much more interested in that particular model. So for me, it's the stories of how cars fit into our lives that really makes them so appealing. And I got involved with the museum volunteering, it must be 10 years ago now, and just found such a great home there as the type of enthusiast that I am, someone who loves the history and the stories. And I've since started writing for the museum's publication, joined the board, and really been loving being a car gal in New England.
Yeah, it really is true, though, that every car has its own story, it seems like. And it was early on this morning, I did a little something with Paul Zangari, of drive-through radio down in Rhode Island, and he had a segment about Corvairs, and I had a Corvair once. But the idea of, you know, the car and the history, and even the history when it relates to one person, can be pretty interesting. You know, how somebody acquired the car, what they did with it, what part of their lives changed with the car, or maybe how their lives grew owning their car, is always a pretty fascinating story when you get to talk to people.
Absolutely. It's so interesting to me how cars represent so much in our lives. They can represent success or freedom, or they can be an heirloom that's passed down through a family. So many different things. They're really such an intersection of past, present, and future. So much to love.
They really are. Well, you wrote a story for GMTrucks.com about the Futureliner, and you know, people who may have never even heard of the Futureliner may have seen it on that TV restoration show, Bitchin' Rides. They did one of the Futureliners over. Tell us about the Futureliner and what it was meant to be.
Sure. So the Futureliner was purpose-built. There were 12 in total, and they were built for General Motors Parade of Progress. So in 1936, Boss Keck, GM research director at the time, noticed how much everyone was really loving GM's science and technology display at the Chicago World's Fair, and thought, let's take this show on the road. So they started with 8 Streamliners. That was the predecessor, but very quickly replaced them with the 12 Futureliners, which were really the anchor vehicles of the parade. So they're built to host these shows demonstrating science and technology from General Motors, of course. Each one has a stage on both sides. The sides fold open to provide a marquee showing what that exhibit is. They have a light tower that comes out of the roof, and they're really just so arresting. When you see one, you can't help but notice it. They're 11 and a half feet tall. They're Art Deco designed by Harley Earl, and just still so inherently cool to this day. Really a treat to get to research them and write about them.
And like you said, they're 11 and a half feet tall, and they're like 35 feet long, right? They're big. They're formidable vehicles, yeah.
That's right. Eight wheels. Yep.
And the driver sat sort of in the middle of the vehicle to drive it, right?
That's right. Yep. In this center cockpit, and the steering wheel is in the center. At first it was a glass bubble, but then they had to add sort of a canopy over it because it was just baking in there in the sun.
Yeah, sometimes design and practicality don't always work that well together. And you mentioned that it has 8 wheels. It has 4 wheels on the front.
That's right.
Yeah, which makes it really, really interesting. And again, just gives it that kind of funny stance. But just, I have never seen one in person. You know, the pictures of it just make it look really amazing. Like you said, the Art Deco style of it looks like they should park one of these in front of, in front of an Art Deco hotel in Miami or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never seen one in person either, but there are videos online of them driving on the street, and it's really neat to see. Even next to, you know, 18-wheelers, which are, of course, commonplace these days, it just stands out so much.
Yeah, and like you said, there was quite a few of these that were built, and do you know where they reside, and are there any that are kind of near us anywhere that somebody has tucked away? Have you been able to find any of that out?
Actually, yes. So the Peter Pan Bus Company out of Springfield owns 2. They have one that they restored, and one that's sort of a donor vehicle for that one should it need anything. But it's really interesting that something so distinctive and so large, we could have lost track of some of them. There's a bit of mystery surrounding who has which one, and I think it's actually not totally known which numbers the Peter Pan Company has. I do know that number 10 lives at the National Auto and Truck Museum in Auburn. They restored it, Auburn, Indiana. that tours occasionally, so kind of living out its original purpose. I think it will actually be at the Oklahoma City Auto Show this year coming up. But there's a lot of debate around some of the other numbers and where they landed. There's actually a Facebook group, GM Futureliner fans, where people, I found this in my research, people get together and discuss, you know, oh, we think we spotted number three here based on these clues in this photo. Really, it all kind of adds to the fascination surrounding the truck.
So it's a little bit of a bit of a mystery at the same time, which makes it kind of fun. And that must have been part of the fun part of doing the research for the story, was, you know, figuring out that where they are, where they kind of disappeared to, and is there maybe even more than we know about? Is there, you know, are there, you know, is there still one tucked away then in the back of a salvage yard somewhere because somebody in 1950 said, what are we going to do with this? We'll stick it out in the back field. You never really know, right?
Right. It could be. Could be the ultimate barn find. Any day now.
Did you feel when you were researching the story, the more you learn, the more kind of anxious you got to learn more about these vehicles?
Anxious? Yes, I would say so. It's, you know, there's really room for sort of enjoying that chase of information that can make research so fun. And it was so neat to see how many people really love these vehicles, that they do have their own fan group. And I'm sure many of the people in this group have never seen one in person, but they do have this enduring appeal.
And what were some of the exhibits and displays that when the Futureliner came to town for an expo or a parade of progress kind of thing, what kind of things was GM trying to show off?
Yeah, so a lot of different things. They really had a sort of pervasive presence, or wanted to have a pervasive presence in the American home at the time. So they had two exhibits called Out of the Muddle, where they showed their potential solutions to common traffic problems, and had these rotating scientific displays that would show how a landscape could change, or mechanical displays rather. And then they had things about power for the air age, showing a jet engine, and things about the modern kitchen and how it could free America's mothers from, quote, domestic drudgery. All these really cool demonstrations. They had soapbox derby displays. They had things about new metals and about heating and cooling, air conditioning, all kinds of innovations that people would not have heard of yet.
Yeah, I was just, while we were talking, I was just, you got me interested in the hunt here. And the first place I went to was Wikipedia, whether you believe what's there or not. And the Out of the City Muddle exhibit, it's sort of interesting because, you know, again, I don't know how accurate this is, but it's a, you know, it was purchased by Square D. Now, Square D is a company that makes electric fuse boxes, circuit breaker panels. Company owned it until 1960, when an unnamed New Hampshire-based motorsport team bought it to use it as a service vehicle. The team ran number 7 until 1964, when it ran out of gas and the team members pushed it under a tree at a nearby scrapyard and left it there. It remained there for 20 years until a New Hampshire-based restaurant operator, Kendrick Robbins, bought it intending to transform it into a salad bar. And then I guess they dismantled it. It was then powered by a gasoline engine instead of the diesel. And then they let it sit for 20 more years, and a Maine-based heavy equipment operator, I guess, bought it. And as of 2017, they learned it sold number 7 to Chrome Cars in Germany, the same owner as the number 9 who shipped it to Germany. So even that one has this sort of weird, twisted history, that everything from it was purchased as a kind of a transportation vehicle for a race car team to, you know, somebody was going to turn it into a salad bar.
Yes, Yeah, you could write a whole article about each one. I think chrome cars in Germany might have three now, and they've done some really cool restorations. But yeah, each one kind of shows how our attitudes towards historic trucks have evolved over time, too, that it could be just left because it ran out of gas is kind of incredible to think about these days.
And the one that you focused your research on, again, which one was that?
So number 10, because it's been added to the Historical Vehicle Association's National Register of Historic Vehicles, it was the first truck added to the National Register, and only the sixth vehicle overall, which is pretty cool. I think to this day there are just 28 on the register at the moment. So there's a lot of information about it on their website. That's also the one that belongs to the museum in Auburn, Indiana. It's been fully restored. There are cool videos about the restoration. Took a whole crew.
Yeah, I would have to think that in the process of doing the restoration with this, there had to be so many parts that had to just had to be kind of made from. Made from nothing, because, you know, over time these vehicles, especially where they were purpose-built vehicles, all the parts had to be just handmade to try to restore these back to their original glory.
Absolutely. They had to do a lot of fabricating. I think they say something like, you know, we would find we needed something, and then someone with those skills would show up. It really sort of attracted a lot of people with the right skill sets who were so interested in this project. Fortunately, but I think it took a long time and cost a lot. Even the tires had to be custom made.
Wow. And I read somewhere this week when I was kind of reading about the future liners that at one time, I guess one of these sold for $4 or $5 million, right?
That's right. Yes. I understand that some of the crew who helped restore the museum's future liner were there when that one crossed the block and had tears in their eyes.
Well, the idea that something crossed the block for that much money, and the same idea that somebody left one out of gas under a tree, just is amazing.
Yes, it's quite the juxtaposition for sure.
Yeah,
fascinating.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, it's a great story, and for people who want to read a little bit more about it, go to gm-trucks.com and you can find the story there. So what's on tap for the next story? You're going to do a little bit more automotive sleuthing, or what's it going to be? Do you know yet?
That's a great question. Got a few ideas in the works, and the Merva brothers have been really nice about letting me kind of dig into things I'm interested in. So we're thinking maybe something to do with the Bison concept. They had a turbine truck concept back in the 60s that never really saw the light of day, but is certainly a cool GM truck fact. And I may even be writing about a Chevy that we had in my family for a long time. So lots of different things coming down the pipeline.
And the idea that you're writing about something, a Chevrolet that was in your family, I think just makes it that much more fun, because I'm sure you're going to unearth some memories a little bit and be able to think about how that car maybe, you know, influenced your family and, you know, had, you know, brought it both, you know, fun and adventure at the same time. I'm sure that's going to be an interesting story to write if you end up writing one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. I think of cars sometimes as time capsules. They're so such a picture of a particular time, even down to the smell. I mean, if you climb into a car that your parents or grandparents had when you were a kid, it's the closest thing we have to time travel that I know of. Just a sensory experience that takes you right back. So I'm definitely looking forward to digging into that, looking through old pictures and finding out maybe more of the technical stuff that I didn't necessarily know when I was just enjoying having this truck in the family as a kid.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's funny how the mind works is when you see a video of something, a lot of times it doesn't do the same thing as when you hold a picture in your hand, the kind of tactile feel of holding the photo and looking at it and how your memory changes, and you start to remember some of those aspects. And it's the same thing when you, when you get into an older car, even if it's one that's a little bit unfamiliar, and just older cars have a different smell and a different feel, and it does bring you right back to a certain time that you remembered that. So, yeah, they're kind of a fun thing.
Yeah, it's so cool to see, too. You know, cars are always kind of cutting edge at the time. The companies are always innovating. And then you see what was innovative at that time. Maybe it quickly became outdated, or maybe we're still using whatever technology was developed, but it's such an intersection between art and science, and really, really interesting.
And if you had your way, what would be the car that you would own if there was no budget involved?
Money, no object.
Yes,
at
yes.
All would be a BMW 507 for sure.
Really.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's an interesting choice, and why that?
They're so beautiful. They're so beautiful, so incredible. Elvis owned one, which is kind of neat, a little bit of that rock and roll history. But I would take a V8. You know, that was the modern revival of the 507, and I would be very happy to have one of those. I would settle for a Z8 for sure.
Oh, well, okay. That's and the idea that car, besides, celebrity owned and all, but that car, I think, has a style that easily could fit today without any problem. You look back at some cars from especially the 80s, they just scream 1980s, and they didn't age particularly well. The BMW 850 didn't age particularly well. The Ferrari Testarossa didn't age particularly well. But there are some cars that do, whether it's something like this BMW 507 or something as simple as a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yes, they have that style. I think it must be the curve. You know, they just translate well from decade to decade.
Yeah. No, it's when you get to talk to designers sometimes, and I don't very often, but in the past, it's sort of that style that stays current. You know, if it's something like it doesn't have to be super expensive. A Fiat 124, a Spider, beautiful looking car, and still today, when you look at one, you go, yeah, that car looks great. Unlike sometimes, maybe the first version of the Cadillac CTS, too angular and got old looking pretty fast, in my opinion, of course, not everybody's, but my opinion.
No, I agree. And then those things kind of come back around with Radwood and things like that. They cycle through, but I absolutely agree. It's a lot more identifiable. You can look right at it and just say, like, oh, 80s, 90s, has such a particular decade look.
Yeah, exactly. So if I hear of you hitting the lottery, the next 507 is yours, right?
That'll be the one, yep.
That'll be the one. Hey, Natalie, I want to thank you for taking a little time out of your Saturday morning and joining us on the Car Doctor program. And if people want to read more from you or learn more about you, gm-trucks.com is a good way to read that story. And how about the museum publication?
That's right. So Upshift can be accessed through LarsAnderson.org. It's a quarterly digital magazine, really focusing on New England car culture. So there's history and there's member spotlights, really something for everyone in Upshift. And then if people are interested in other things I'm writing, my Instagram is probably the best place to check that out. I always share things there. It's Automotive It Girl on Instagram. I have a new blog in the works, sort of focusing on that intersection of history and personal stories. So I'll be launching that on Instagram.
There we go. So Automotive It Girl on Instagram, Upshift through the Lars Anderson Auto Museum, and we've had George Kennedy on the program a couple of times talking about the publication and how it really truly reads like a real magazine, only it's digital, which is kind of nice too. So I want to congratulate you on this article and all of your past and future writing. You write a very nice story, and I think people, if they want to learn about the GM Futureliner, your story is a great place to start. And then what it does, or at least when I read it, it made me look more and more to find out more of these, you know, quirky little pieces about these fantastic vehicles that GM built.
Yeah, thank you so much. I do like to think of it as sort of interpreting the car for other people like me who might be interested in the aspects that I appreciate. That's really nice to hear. Thank you.
All right, Natalie, thank you, and enjoy the rest of the day, and hopefully it doesn't snow too much wherever you are.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Take care, Natalie. Bye-bye. That was Natalie Harrington. You can check out her Instagram, Automotive It Girl, check out what's going on with her. Check out the Lars Anderson Auto Museum, and check out the Mervers page, gm-trucks.com. They've been writing that. It is the largest General Motors or GM truck blog in the country, I think. It's certainly one of the biggest around, and a lot of good stuff in there, a lot of forums, a lot of just general stories that are nice to see. We need to take a break, pay some bills. Our phone lines are wide open if you would like to join us and talk about your car problems, some of these fantastic older vehicles that maybe you remember in your life, maybe the vehicle that got away, which is always a great story. Maybe you had the chance to buy something and you never did because it was either financial or you didn't have enough room to put it somewhere. I guess had both of those issues over time, so you can look about that. And we'll also talk about a survey AAA did about autonomous vehicles, all of that coming up and more. Join us, stay tuned.
If it's local you want, it's local we have. Your local connection, North Shore 104.9. Hi, it's Hank Morse. Join me weekday mornings. We'll have local news, entertainment, music to get you going, and lots of laughs. Laugh and learn weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on your local connection, North Shore 104.9.
Senior Care Inc. is available for elders in 9 communities on the North Shore. Hi, I'm Scott Trenty, CEO of Senior Care. Did you know you can hire your family, friends, or neighbors to help care for you? Through our consumer-directed program, eligible seniors can employ others to help them. Whoever you choose to work for you can be paid for helping. Reach out to us at seniorcareinc.org or call us at 978-281-1750. That's 978-281-1750. Senior Care is here to help.
We make it easy.
Hi, this is Brian Kelly from the Kelly Automotive Group. We had our most successful President's Day sale to date. And if we advertise it, we'll have it when you get here. It's easy, it's honest, and it's guaranteed.
At Kelly Jeep, you can lease the all-new 2021 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo 4x4 for 24 months, which is $39.95 cash or trade-down, plus their normal lease startup costs for only $96 a month during the President's Day event.
Go to kellyauto.com for all the easy details. Hey, how's that for making it easy?
Join AAA today and avoid roadside headaches this winter. Don't let a dead battery, frozen car locks, or an unexpected breakdown keep you out in the cold. With a AAA membership, you're protected on the road anytime, in any car, and in any weather. AAA technicians will be there to quickly fix your problem and get you back on the road, often without the need for a tow. Visit AAA.com/join to sign up. That's AAA.com/join.
Hi, this is Scott Whitney with Wicked Bites north of Boston, which is right here every single Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And we're talking restaurants, and they need your help right now. We're talking takeout, pickup, curbside, you name it. We'll have it this Sunday morning at 9 a.m. right here at North Shore 104.9.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor program on North Shore 104.9. I guess we have a little bit of an echo in our system for some reason, and I don't know why, and I apologize for that. And I don't know. I don't know why. I'm going to have to come up to the studio next week just to be echo-free.
Love to have you.
Is that okay with you, Biff?
Love to have you.
All right.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do that next week. Yeah. And, you know, because by then it's not going to be snowing, so... Or hopefully not.
Well, let's hope not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. So, so if you would like to join us, our phone number is 800-370-1049, 800-370-1049, and phone lines are open. AAA came out with a study this week, and it was about self-driving technology. And I don't know, Biff, are you ready for a self-driving car?
I don't think I'm ready for that yet, John.
No.
I think that would freak me out a little bit, I think.
You are in the majority. You know, we've done this survey for 6 years in a row, and this is AAA's annual automated vehicle survey, and we look at how consumers feel about self-driving vehicles, and people want more technology in their cars. I kind of want less, but people want more technology in their cars. That's what we've found out. But the idea of having full vehicle automation, we only found that 14% of drivers would trust riding in a vehicle that drives itself. 86% said they would either be afraid to ride in a self-driving vehicle or were unsure about it. They just weren't comfortable at all. We did a local survey just to see if it would be different than the national survey, and it was about the same. We found that less than 30% of the people we surveyed would feel safe driving in a self-driving car, and two-thirds of those surveyed said speed of the vehicle would impact their comfort feel, I guess. So if you were taking a kind of a little jitney-style thing from maybe a train station to a park and ride, maybe people would be more comfortable because it runs on a lower speed. But the idea of cruising down the highway at 70, 80, 90 miles an hour, whatever autonomous vehicles might do, I think makes people really, really hesitant. But the idea of people feeling better about technology and wanting more technology, it was back in the 60s, you know, if you look at history, you know, Lee Iacocca said safety doesn't sell. Now, in fact, it does sell, and it sells really well. And the technology is a big piece of that. And when we look at self-driving vehicles, I mean, they're still going to be a long ways away. I don't care what anybody says. The idea of getting into a self-driving vehicle that you can push a button and, you know, tell it you want to go to Phoenix, Arizona for the wintertime, and you sort of take a nap to the point of where you start to run out of gas, and then it tells you, you know, we have to stop and get gas, and you do that a bunch of times, and next thing you know, you wake up and you're in Phoenix. That's going to be a long way off before that happens. Now, on the other hand, self-driving vehicles that are kind of encased in a zip code or sort of technology allows this to happen now where things are sort of locked down to a certain area, which is why something as simple as the cable TV commercial that I watch is different than the cable TV commercial that Biff watches, because we live in different places and certain commercials get targeted to, they can actually target a commercial to almost a certain street if they wanted to. And you can do that with autonomous vehicle technology. You can say within this 3, 4, 10, 20 block radius, we can have autonomous vehicles that will drive themselves, but you can't go outside of this area. That technology, we may see more of that coming up in the near future, But the idea of being able to push a button and drive a really long distance, that's going to be a long time off. But think about how self-driving vehicles can help people, though. As people get older, the fastest growing part of the population is people older than 60. And we need three times as much light to see between the time we're 20 and 60 years old. If you live to be 80, you're going to need four times as much light to see. So driving at night becomes a problem. Wouldn't it be nice if your car can do that for you and you can still go out and do things at night and not have to worry about light and weather-related issues and things like that?
Well, that part, I would be in favor of 100%. That part.
Yeah,
now you're starting to sell me a little bit.
And think about the person that had, you know, one too many drinks they were out having dinner.
And certainly not not you or I, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they get in their car, and all the car needs to do is know that it wants to go home, and they can bring that person that, you know, maybe is, you know, slightly impaired.
Get them home safely.
And
other people as well.
Yeah. Exactly. And the idea, if all of these self-driving cars were on the road at the same time, they would be less likely to have traffic jams and car crashes. Now,
John, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Paul from Braintree is on the line, and he wants to join the conversation. He has some questions from the Natalie interview. He was very fascinated by that. So let's bring Paul on.
Hi, John. Hey, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning. Self-driving cars, my mind just flashed back to Space Odyssey and HAL 2000. So if you know the movie, that the ending was they tried to disable the automatic system was trying to take over the plane.
Yeah.
Anyway,
open the pod door, HAL. Open the pod door. Open the pod door, HAL.
Is that what it was? I forgot. I don't know. I suppose. I mean, when I fly, I have to stay awake. I have to fly the thing. So, I mean, I'm not the best candidate for self-driving anything. Just a question, Natalie's really interesting piece, and I saw that you had a picture on Facebook of the, is it a bus? I've forgotten the exact name of it.
The future liner is 11 feet tall, and it's almost 35 feet long, so it looks sort of like a bus. And what's fascinating is the sides of it open up, and that's where the displays are. So it's everything from, and there was this whole series of them, and everything from, like she said, the one about, you know, eliminating traffic jams and things like that, to things that could make your life easier at home. So they were kind of really bringing the future out to people and showing them how, you know, everything from the latest, you know, General Motors refrigerator and how it would make your life that much better to, you know, all kinds of fascinating stuff. So,
yeah, I was wondering, old enough to remember my dad taking us to the GM Autorama, which was at the old Boston Armory, which is now the Gannett Center. I wonder whether GM ever brought the future liner to the GM Autorama. It seemed like the likely place to put it.
I don't know that. I would assume that was probably part of it. But the idea that one of them ended up, you know, in a field somewhere because it ran out of fuel, and someone was going to turn one of them into a salad bar, I think is pretty interesting. But yeah, these vehicles were, you know, pretty fascinating in their own way, but also pretty simple in their own way too. Because you think about, you know, here comes this kind of bus looking thing into town. It opens up and it kind of shows you the future, but in a simple sort of way. You know, here's what can happen with traffic. Here's what can happen in your kitchen. You know, here's all these varieties of things but still, I can't imagine that, you know, we're so used to now that when we look things up on the internet, we find more and more and more research, and then, you know, once, and it's never ending, where this, you sort of looked at it and, you know, you looked at, okay, here's, you know, here's what stereo was going to sound like, or here's a microwave oven, or here's the future of television. And, you know, there was one, that showed, in 1955, a miniature automobile assembly line, and they called it, A Car Was Born, and it was constructed in one of the future liners. So it was a lot of weird static displays, and by weird, I mean kind of, you know, compared to now. But, and then there was the people there that would explain it and talk about it, and, you know, pretty interesting. I really want to go try to find one somewhere now and see what it looks like. You know, yeah. And the idea that two of them are, the Peter Pan bus has two of them. They must drag one out once in a while.
I wonder if it went the way of World's Fairs. I mean, I remember going to the 64, 65 World's Fair. You know, now I don't know if they still even have those. I mean, that was the future of the, back, I guess they started, century ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the 38, 37 World's Fair, they first showed television and superhighways and how things are going to be. But now, you do that on the Internet. As to the Autorama, the only thing I remember was they had, I believe it was Elvis Presley's 1956 Cadillac. I believe it was a Coupe de Ville. And all I remember is that the piping on the edge of the seats were real pearls inside the piping.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it's the only image that remains with me. And I was a little kid. Probably, you know, Elvis Presley was important. And,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was a big 56 with pearls in the, you know, where the little piping is on the seats. Wow.
Well,
I guess they were real, but I, you know.
I'm sure they probably were, and you know, as an entertainer who was, you know, certainly larger than life, the idea that but the idea that he would buy cars for people and, you know, do all kinds of crazy stuff, and the idea that, you know, most of the cars that he owned were barely driven, so yeah, sort of interesting, and again the idea that they the Peter Pan bus one, I guess, was number six, looking at Wikipedia here, and it says, displayed energy and man exhibit. It also displayed the high compression power and energy exhibit. The bus, again, is believed to be restored and owned by Peter Pan Bus Lines, and they have a second one, which they use for parts.
You say Springfield or Worcester?
Springfield, yeah. Not that far away. I'm gonna have to do a little bit of research and find out a little bit more about it and see if they have.
Maybe get them on as a guest. Well, great.
Yeah.
Always interesting.
All right. Thanks,
Thank
Paul.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye bye. We need to take another break. Our phone number 800-370-1049. 800-370-1049. Give us a call. Talk about whatever's on your mind in the automotive world today. Love to hear from you. We'll be right back.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true, I'm here to say, I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup's got eight cylinders and uses them all. Got overdrive, just won't stall. With a four-barrel carb and a dual exhaust, with four living gears you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, but I ain't scared. The brakes are good, tires fair. Pull that us in.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
So you need a car, but you don't have the cash. Misho Mitsubishi.
Did you know Misho Mitsubishi in Danvers is your used car solution?
People tell me the most difficult part of the car buying process is deciding where to buy. There are so many choices. Who has the best deals? Is the car in good condition? And can I trust them? It's information overload. Well, we have a solution. Misho Mitsubishi on 114 in Danvers is the hidden secret on the North Shore. Full transparency, low pressure atmosphere, and people that treat you like family. Simply put, we're different. Our inventory is loaded with incredible options, from Acuras to Hondas, Toyotas, and Fords. That's right, we don't just carry Mitsubishi.
So whether you're a carpenter, a landscaper, a plumber, or a student going to school, we have the used car for you, and they all have a warranty. Misho Mitsubishi in Danvers is your used car solution. Veterans, senior citizens, you get an extra $250 off as a courtesy.
It's the truth. Misho Mitsubishi is different. No shenanigans, just great deals.
Visit us on Route 114 in Danvers. MishoAuto.com. M-I-C-H-A-U-T.
The following message is brought to you by Boston Fence and Vinyl through 104.9's Project Local program. Lean Nail and Spa of Beverly is an independent spa at 203 Cabot Street in Beverly, across from A&B Burgers. Lean Nail and Spa welcomes appointments and walk-ins for professional manis and pedis with shellac, dip and liquid gels, eyelash extensions, waxing, facials, and more. Open weekdays from 10 a.m. to 7 and Saturdays from 9 to 6. Call Lean Nail and Spa today at 978-524-8850.
Gloucester's Azorian Restaurant is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week, for inside dining and for takeout. Azorian's restaurant and bar areas are huge, so the capacity limits guarantee that you'll be well spaced out during your meal. Feel the difference when you dine at Azorian. Call ahead for weekend specials, highlighting the freshest seafood available, flavorful Mediterranean dishes, and more. Reserve your table online or order takeout online. You'll love the Azorian. Details at AzorianRestaurant.com.
This weather report is brought to you by Northeast Basement Systems. Make your wet, damp, or leaky basement dry with Northeast Basement Systems, the leader in basement technology. Call 877-DRY, the number for you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Mark Rosenthal with you on this Saturday. Here is your North Shore 104.9 forecast, serving the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley. Gray skies are in today. There could be a burst of snow breaking out before midday, going over to rain. Temps this afternoon, low and mid-40s, light winds. The rain will end this evening, followed by partly cloudy overnight, lows about freezing. Tomorrow, maybe some early sun and clouding up, chance of showers by dark, low 40s. Rain ends Monday morning, partly cloudy and milder in the afternoon near 50. Much colder weather comes in on Tuesday. Forecast being brought to you by Papa Lock Smith of Peabody. Papa Lock makes all kinds of auto keys, including the new push-button start key. Even if you lost your keys, they'll get you back on the road. Papa Lock comes to you. Online at papalockofpeabody.com. For local North Shore 104.9, I'm Mark Rosenthal.
And welcome back. Remember, our program is brought to you in part by AAA. Membership pays for itself. Remember, we provide road service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in any car you're in. So even if you're a passenger, so if you happen to be the passenger in a car and they get a flat tire, run out of gas, whatever the case is, you're a AAA member, you call 1-800-AAA-HELP. You get the help that you need. And now we have, Basic Plus and Premier membership, which is the most enhanced membership that gives you up to 1 200-mile tow per membership year, where Plus membership gives you 100-mile tows. And now we have a new value. You can actually pay for your membership by the month. So, for instance, if you wanted AAA Plus membership and you said, you know what, I don't want to pay for it all at once, I can pay $7.67 a month and there's no enrollment fee, that's been waived. So go to AAA.com/join to find out more information. And I want to find out more information from Bill. Bill, good morning and welcome back to the Car Doctor program.
Good morning, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
John, my call was just a quick follow-up on the segment on the future liner. Out in Salt Lake City, that custom builder, Dave Kindig.
Yep.
He did 2 one-hour shows dedicated to the restoration of one of those.
I saw one of them. I don't remember seeing both of them, but I did see one of them, and it was pretty fascinating, especially how they had to piece some things together. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was. Part of it, the front bumper on that vehicle looks like something you'd see on a tugboat. He had to cast that in some type of phonetic resin. It was just quite a process, but I can only imagine the hours he had into that vehicle. But perhaps your listeners could go to Motor Trend TV and probably, bring those episodes up. They might get a kick out of it.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm sure. And the thing itself looked like it was pretty weird to drive, where you sat right in the middle of it and there was no windows in it. So, you know, anything you were seeing was either out of the glass cockpit, or you were just seeing it in the side view mirrors. I don't think I'd want to back this thing up. I know that.
No, I know his crew had quite a handful just getting it out of the garage they were doing the restoration on. So,
yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Yeah. Hey, so thanks for the information. Always glad to hear from you. Take care now.
Very, very good. Thank you very much, John. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. All right. Take care. Bye bye. So, yeah, I mean, this, you know, the idea is some of these cars that were just manufactured during this time were extraordinarily interesting. And the, you know, whether it was the GM Futureliner, some of the turbine-powered cars, some of the things that, you know, looked like it came right from the space age because of everything from the fins to the way the exhaust looked to the front nose that looked literally like a rocket. Some of these cars were pretty interesting. And what is sad in a lot of cases, a lot of these concepts and auto show cars really just ended up going to the scrap pile. And every once in a while when someone finds one, it really is an interesting story and just makes it really a lot of fun. We need to take another break, pay some more bills. My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. You're listening on North Shore 104.9, 104.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in. Keep trucking, like the dude of man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep trucking, come on.
Join AAA today and avoid roadside headaches this winter. Don't let a dead battery, frozen car locks, or an unexpected breakdown keep you out in the cold. With a AAA membership, you're protected on the road anytime, in any car, and in any weather. AAA technicians will be there to quickly fix your problem and get you back on the road, often without the need for a tow. Visit AAA.com/join to sign up. That's AAA.com/join.
Hi, this is Brian Kelly from the Kelly Automotive Group. We had our most successful President's Day sale to date. In fact, it was so successful, we have hundreds of fresh Kelly certified trade-ins with low miles and most with one owner. At all Kelly dealerships, we are chock full of pre-owned vehicles with prices starting well below $15,000. And if we advertise it, we'll have it when you get here. It's easy, it's honest, and it's guaranteed. Visit KellyAuto.com for all the easy details. Fresh and clean trade-ins with prices starting under $15,000. Hey, how's that for making it easy?
That's the Kelly!
This winter, cleaning isn't just a chore, it's essential. Between working from home, remote learning, and our busy pets, our homes are getting a lot of wear. Hi, this is Matt Donnelly, owner of The Maids. For over 25 years, we have been New England's choice for healthy home cleaning. Our award-winning teams wear PPE and use only professional equipment and products. Don't expose your home, family, and pets to just anyone with a vacuum and a mop. Safely have your home cleaned by The Maids. Call 978-276-1276 or online at themaidsma.com.
Hi, it's John Haley from Aubuchon Hardware. Join me every Sunday morning at 7 on At Home with John Haley as we tackle your home projects.
Road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love,
and welcome back to the Car Doctor program. Well, I was just I got a couple of emails this morning from some of the columns that I wrote, and one of them was somebody was looking for a handy little used car, and the car they were looking for was a Toyota Matrix. And you know, they were only, you know, anyone you look at is going to be 10 or 11, 12 years old, I guess, now. So, you know, they said they stumbled across a couple of Pontiac Vibes, and they haven't made Pontiacs in years. Do you think it would be a wise buy? And, you know, what was interesting about the Vibe and the Toyota Matrix, they were actually made in the same factory in California. And I think it's the factory that was making Teslas now. But the Matrix and the Vibe both had Toyota engines, both had Toyota transmissions. The Toyota had a Japanese-sourced battery. I think the Pontiac had an AC Delco battery. But they were very, very similar cars, a little bit different. The rear styling on the Pontiac was a little bit different. And you know, would a Vibe be a good choice? Yeah, you can get, you know, I looked at sheet metal parts, you know, could you get a fender or a door or something? Yeah, not really a problem. Can you get mechanical parts, starters, alternators? Absolutely easy to get. So even things like catalytic converters, which sometimes as cars get older, they can get harder to find, but not a problem. So I think, you know, buying one would be not really a challenge for owning it. And they are pretty handy little cars. I was reading about the new General Motors sport utility vehicle built off the Chevrolet Bolt. And apparently when they built it, it has less cargo capacity than the Bolt, which I thought was kind of funny. So the idea of having this small wagon type vehicle that could, you know, you could carry stuff around in the back of it and, you know, put four people in it and just a nice little vehicle, unlike the new utility vehicle of whatever it's called that Chevrolet made, which maybe isn't so utilitarian. Someone else wrote to me and said, when it gets cold, I always used to add Gasoline antifreeze to my gas tank. Winter isn't over yet, and it's not expensive. Should I be adding Gasoline antifreeze to prevent frozen gas lines? Are there any winter additives that you use? And years ago, we used to see a lot of problems with Gasoline freeze-up, especially in really cold areas. You know, people would go up to the mountains to go skiing and their gas lines would freeze up. And a lot of that had to do with gas caps didn't fit as well. Gas stations pumped more water back then because of gas station contamination. And today you don't get that the same way. And today a lot of fuel tanks are made out of plastic rather than metal. When the temperature changes, if there's condensation or moisture in the gas, as the metal changes shape or changes temperature, those drops of condensation will literally drop off the top of the tank into the gasoline, work its way into the fuel system, and it could freeze up in the fuel lines. We don't see that as much anymore. So less of a problem. Fuel injection solved a lot of those problems. Fuel lines in a lot of cases are plastic style fuel lines, so you don't have as much of it. You know, if you left your gas cap off in a rainstorm or a snowstorm, and probably you would notice because the check engine light came on, you know, adding a bottle of Gasoline antifreeze probably wouldn't hurt at all to do that.
2 minutes.
So,
2 minutes.
And there's different kinds of Gasoline antifreeze, different types of alcohol that are in them. Some actually mix with the water in the gasoline, and then so that combination of alcohol and water gets kind of sucked out through the system as it's working together. Other kinds, and I think it uses methanol alcohol, but I'm not 100% sure anymore. But that mixes, the water mixes with the Gasoline antifreeze, and then that combination mixes together with the gasoline. So I like that kind a little bit better. One of the products is called Heat, H-E-E-T, I think. And it if you think you have a problem, I think that's a good product. Personally, you know, I don't drive my cars as much as I used to. I'm not commuting 100 miles round trip back and forth to work. So I don't use Gasoline antifreeze, but I do use gasoline stabilizer. It helps prevent the gasoline from getting stale. I try to, when I can, I use the marine grade, the kind of bluish color of Stabil. I think it does a better job of eliminating any water issues. So it kind of combines the two ideas together of stabilizer, gasoline stabilizer, and gasoline antifreeze. Well, that music means that we are out of time for this hour. If, you know, remember to check out Natalie Harrington's Instagram page, and also check out gm-trucks.com to find out more information about that article. It was a great article. Coming up next, Real Estate Revealed he was on TV. Listen to him. He was on TV. Has to be smart if he was on TV, right? So that's coming up next right here. And until next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, be good to your car, and thank you to Biff for doing everything he does back at the station. Talk to y'all next week. Bye-bye.